Life's a game, the world's a stage, and we are merely role players where theatrical people play role-playing games. I'm Matt Boothman, and I'm your compere. Let me show you to your seats. Here on Merely Role Players, we improvise stories to entertain ourselves and you. And we use role-playing games to keep those stories going places even we can't see coming, because, as theatrical people, we're all about maximising the drama, darling. This episode is part of Labyrinth Untold, one of our studio productions. In this production, Natalie Winter will be our Goblin Queen for a race against time through Jim Henson's Labyrinth, the adventure game. So please take your seats in the studio. Tonight's production is about to begin.
The Goblin Queen, after emerging from her disguise as an old man with a very, very large hat, looks down upon you all, even those that are much taller than her. She finds a way to look down upon you.
Yeah.
You've passed every challenge I've thrown at you, but soon you'll run out of time. All your wits are no match for me when it comes to a battle of rhymes. Out of nowhere, there's like sort of music and a little beat. Kind of swells from out of the, like the shrubs themselves are like clicking around you.
Oh no. Slam poetry.
Taking in your concerned looks, she smirks at you, Linda. Come now, dear, I thought you were a poet, or do you no longer know it?
Give me an opportunity and I will show it.
A little worm pops out of the hedge nearby.
Hello. She's. You might be new round here. She does this sometimes. She likes to do her rhyme battles. You've got to respond in rhyme to what she's doing, preferably with the same rhythm.
The beat continues. She turns round to all of you and says, "No being yet has matched my wit."
Well, come on then. Let's have at it.
Great stuff, Linda. That poetry is coming in handy.
And she's getting very verbose all of a sudden.
Yeah, she is.
I think Linda's got this. Let's just edge away.
No!
It's which direction is the exit?
She is blocking it.
Oh, no.
As you go closer, like the hedge grows raven feathers that block the path. You'll never escape my ingenious maze.
I think we'll find plenty of ways.
You'll never recover the things I've taken.
Well, in saying that, you're much mistaken.
You're as ugly as one of my goblin crew.
Here's a mirror. Take a look at you.
Ooh, sick worm burn.
You reek as badly as a dwarf in a bog.
I don't think it's us. I think it's that dam.
It's like the beat drops because you left it hanging too long and the hedges shiver in judgment. And the beat takes up again. I've been practicing this for 100 years.
You're so bad, it brings me to tears.
Your rhymes are as weak as a 2-year-old child.
I would describe them as pretty dope and wild.
I have the same words. As I'm getting this to the same end word, a strat, but I'm not constructing a whole sentence. And strat sentences are fucking wild. that was ideal.
She starts to look frustrated that you have come back almost perfectly with every single one of these. And so she produces out of her hand something you can't quite see until she throws it to you. Here, eat this peach, poisonous and orange.
The only word that rhymes with orange is gorange.
That doesn't fit the rhythm.
Well, I'm kind of getting fed up with her. How much rhyming are we going to do?
Rhyming couplets are low art anyway.
You find that the peach falls at your feet. She snarls in frustration at you and throws her massive sleeve across her face, which turns into a swirl of raven feathers and consolidates into her raven form, which flies away again. You have managed to get through this without losing up to 2 hours, which was the potential threat. The way is clear and you are able to exit the hedge maze. As you approach the edge of it, you start to notice that the boxy, labyrinthine form of the vegetation slowly starts to unravel and become disjointed, less structured, and you start to see more trees. Whilst it was very cold in the stone walls, the hedge maze felt hot like a summer day. The sun was high in the sky, despite it being warm. Time has still passed to 2 now. Mm. The sun was high in the sky. There were occasional rose blooms around, and the heady smells of midsummer. Now, as you reach the edges of it, things start to take on a more fairy-like twilight of late spring instead, as the hedge maze dissolves into the land of yore. Carpets of bluebells under trees. Cherry trees mixed in with deciduous woodland, which doesn't make sense, but still the blossoms hang down. Mm. Still everything sparkles because, damn it, glitter is everywhere.
What is that? Does anybody else notice everything's glittery? So gaudy.
Whilst this scene in itself is very beautiful, so, Barold, you do know this is where you've originally come from.
Mm-hmm.
So you do know deep within the land of yore, there are still perils, there are still dangers here. And despite everything looking beautiful and smelling beautiful right now, that is not always the case in the land of yore.
I think we're making pretty good time. Steady progress. Clock's not advancing too much. I think maybe we could slow the pace and enjoy the sight of the bluebells.
Do, 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 enjoy the view. That's what worms do, 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 do.
So, Barold, has your nice dog hedge steed got a name?
Yes, I have named it Privet.
Hmm. Sound very appropriate.
That's what I thought. What a good idea of mine.
Privet does a little shimmying bark. Rustle, rustle, rustle.
Good dog, Privet.
A noble steed for a mighty knight.
Why, thank you, worm friend.
Do you think one day I'll get one?
I don't see why not.
As you continue through this beautiful glade, you do start to get a whiff. An inevitable whiff.
Mm.
So, Barold, you know that the bog of eternal stench lies within the land of yore. And you are heading that way. You might be tempted to turn around and take another path, but you do hear some frantic cries up ahead. And through the clearing ahead of you, you can see that the thick woods spread out a little. In amongst the trees, there is a small part of the bog, like a large pond's worth of bog, with a tributary that leads on to the main belly of the beast itself. Above this pond, a platform has been erected, which is the bog itself is bubbling and burping and farting. There is all sorts of horrible noises and horrible smells coming from this pond. On this platform, there are some goblins, 5 goblins, slowly turning a huge winch. At the end of which is a huge horned beast with extremely long grey fur that he is now upside down, so it's covering his eyes.
Yeah, this'll serve you right. Yes.
There is one who is wearing a powdered curly wig and has a little tiny hammer.
Yes, Yes, the punishment is fit. Down, down he goes. Yes. Oh, yes. And the rest of them are winching this horned beast. He's still about 10 feet above the bog, and the platform is set up 20 feet above the bog. And the winch, they are going at it full energy, but it is very slow. Despite that, there must be so much rope on this. Or it's a giant spool that takes a lot of turning. A ladder descends off the side of the platform to a wooden walkway that takes them back to dry land, away from this pit of the bog. It's barreled. You know, if anyone steps as much as a little toe in the bog of stench, they will smell forever!
Poor beast.
Ooh.
Wonder what it did.
Surely we can't let this stand in the land of yore.
We cannot. There is nothing this beast could have done that would deserve this fate. To stink forever is truly to be damned.
Oi! Goblins! Stop it! Stop it!
The one with the hammer says, "Interlopers! What? No, this is justice being carried out! Yes, justice, justice, justice!
Stop it!
We don't recognise the power of your court. What is your true qualification here?
I serve under the whims of the Goblin Queen!" And you see beyond the pond, there is actually a wooden throne set up. The other side, it is empty. But implies that occasionally this is where the Goblin Queen would come to observe people being dipped.
Justice for what? What's this horned beast done?
He helped people proceed through the labyrinth. Forbidden! Bang, 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 bang.
This beast can help people proceed through the labyrinth.
We're proceeding through the labyrinth.
We could do some help in doing that.
We could.
This is even more reason to halt these proceedings immediately. Okay. Okay. On to Privet. Come on, Steed. Worm, would you like to come with me?
What are you going to do?
Charge, of course.
Okay.
How do we get up to the platform?
It's a ladder. We can say that it's one of those ladders that's like an angled plank with straps across it.
Okay, sounds like something we could gallop up.
You gallop. I am going to see if I can do something while you've got their attention.
Very well.
Just deposit me close to the winch.
They'll never notice I'm there.
Let's go.
Linda, do you remember what you did with that pink poison?
She just starts having has a confused look on her face and like feeling around for like pockets that she doesn't appear to have.
Linda,
she's not wearing anything.
Don't hold out on me, Linda.
and then it appears from the fur, seemingly from nowhere. Pink one.
I think we could do something with this here.
What's it do?
Makes them gullible.
Ah. Persuasion.
The one with that horrible wig. If we can persuade that one, the other ones will listen.
Yes. I'm just going to start stomping over to the judge with my spray gun pointed.
So we've got our square platform. The winch is on the left-hand side. There are four goblins that are all around the winch because they're winching it. The judge is on the right-hand side of it. So you two charge forward to the right-hand side.
You spray, I'll talk.
Could you please, Linda, give me a DC 2 roll just to make sure that you spray this in the right direction onto the judge? That's a 3.
Mm-hmm.
Succeeds. The pink spray wafts over the judge. Just sort of sneeze a bit out.
I declare a mistrial. You've got it all wrong.
A mistrial, you say?
Yes, you've got the wrong beast.
Oh, and have you brought us the right beast?
No, you fool.
No.
Well, this is confusing.
Do you think all horned beasts look the same?
No, they're very clearly different.
Hair thingy.
They're very clearly different colours.
Yes, very clearly, and yet
stylish hair accessory on this one. Yeah.
Very, very clearly different, and yet you've got this shaggy grey horned beast about to be dipped. whereas the Goblin Queen accused one that was purple.
Triffid, consult the instructions. Another goblin who's wearing all of his armour backwards will get off the winch, so it starts to move a bit slower.
You mean you didn't you can't even remember what the Goblin Queen told you to do when she was sitting right there?
Well, she said it very quickly and then left to go and rap battle people. Triffid will walk backwards and pick up a scroll backwards and hobble over. Here you go, Your Honour. Your Honour will unroll the scroll.
See? It's purple.
Are you sure? Oh, dear. And we'll look over to the horned beast. The lighting is strange in this area of the labyrinth. Are you called Rufo?
And the horned beast will look at the two of you and go,
frantically shaking heads.
Oh, then this is a grave miscarriage of injustice indeed.
While this conversation is going on.
I don't know whether you've noticed that they're executing a good plan.
I'm very just slowly inching my way in my little wormy walking fashion towards wherever the rope goes down off the winch through the platform and down there. And when I get there, with all my wormy strength, I just want to ram my sword through the rope into whatever winch, wooden winch system it is there. So they can still turn it, but all it does is bunch the rope above where my sword is so it doesn't go down.
I get what you're trying to do. The platform has got to be wide enough to fit a horned beast in.
Yes.
So you would have to push the rope enough for it to get to the edge of this trapdoor. If you're on about like stopping the cog, so it would stop the mechanism, that could work.
Oh, okay, well, I could do that instead.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you just, like, stick your sword in.
Yeah.
And okay.
Like spokes in a bike wheel.
Yeah.
My plan was trying to do it without them, so they could continue turning it without realising it. But that would still work, so if that is possible, I'll go with that one.
We'll resolve that in a second. So, Barold, you charged in.
Yeah, I'm just going to start kicking goblins.
Fantastic. Please make me a roll. Are you using anything to give yourself advantage here?
The steed and bravery, I guess.
Yeah, and you're aiming to hit a 4.
5.
So you charge sword first.
Oh, man.
And he falls, just flying into the bog with an almighty...
Oh, no, I shall smell forever.
Can I say to Your Honour... You see how displeased the Goblin Queen is with you getting it wrong? She's already sent her knights to kick you all into the bog.
Oh, no.
Twinkle, you're rolling to stick your sword into the thing. I think you're able to do it. I just wanted to make sure you roll. Mm. If you hit a 1, then the sword will be stuck in there forever.
Whoa!
2. Okay, good. So, yeah, you manage to pop your sword into the winch. It stops. Definitely not Rufo, is now suspended about 5 foot above the bog. Oh.
Smell bad.
Iconic.
Your Honour turns to all the goblins. Goblins, cease lowering the prisoner, the not prisoner, the not Rufo, for we must find the true Rufo, the purple beast.
Oh, this purple beast.
Bang his house. Bang, 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 bang.
Oh, but Your Honour, they knocked poor Takur into the bog. No, well, you know, losses and all that. We've got a mission to do here.
Takur is like, oh. You just see like a little goblin-y hand sink down.
He lives in the bog now.
He is one with the bog.
So Your Honour is well and truly charmed, but it does look like out of the remaining 4 goblins, one of them is actually 2 tiny goblins, one on top of the other, and the one below is wearing a horned helmet that the other one is holding onto and has like motorcycle goggles on.
Awesome.
There is another one, Triffid, who has his armour on backwards. There is another one who has been pulling the winch and has 10 thumbs but no fingers.
Bosch has been at this one.
And it's this one that's kind of looking at the bog and looking at Sir Barold.
Your Honour, I don't think these people have our best interests in heart.
And then the fourth goblin, as she lets go of the winch to pay attention to Your Honour and turns around, she sounds exactly like the bog of Eternal Stench. She kind of, as she moves her feet, she it's like a as she turns.
Oh, do we still have to fight them? No, fighting is not going to be necessary. I don't know, says the thummy one. I don't like the look of this one.
The smelly one and the thummy one, Sir Barold, they are going to come and try and attack you.
Great.
Make me a roll to avoid them trying to rush and push you.
And as I am still steed mounted, do I have advantage?
Yes.
Yay, six. Ooh,
great. Thummy, the thummy one, Grebel Mark.
No, I think these people are not on our side at all.
He's going to charge at you.
I think just sidestep and they'll run off the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, emboggened. and I think this is going to put Stench off slightly.
Mm.
And part of that, she's going to look up and I think going to see that the winch, she's not going to see you, Winkle, but see that the winch has been stopped. I think she's slightly smarter, despite being smelly.
Mm-hmm.
She's overcome her smelliness to be slightly smarter than the others and realised that they've all let go of the winch, but the prisoner has not fallen and is going to try and have a look at the winch and figure out what's going on. I'm going to say that this is going to be a four.
Oh no, she's very so clever.
She's very clever. I think she actually spots you with a six.
No!
I know.
I'm so small!
I'm far away.
But you climbed up quite high in the winch, so she's going to start climbing. I would like you to make a roll to hold onto the rope.
Oh.
Otherwise, her climbing the rope is going to shake you off.
Okay. I'm going to use my trait of wall climbing to get an advantage.
Yes, please do. It's going to be a three.
Yay!
Yes, great.
Get him off the rope! Get the beast off the thing!
Linda is going to go and tickle the Stench while she's climbing. Yeah, yes. Make her fall off through tickles.
I mean, you can once you climb onto the platform, it will shake a little bit. Mm. So everyone's a bit like, because you are so big. Are you tickling her, like, where are you aiming for? Armpits? Mm. Belly?
Armpits.
Oh, no! My one weakness!
And let's go. She goes to, like, reach to the sky in a, why, God, why, sort of pose, realises that means she's no longer holding onto the rope, falls down, bounces off Rufo, and falls into the bog herself.
Goblins, cease this silliness. We must go and check the paperwork. The paperwork!
So I'll just poke my beak over the side of the hole in the platform. Are you all right down there? Can you climb?
Ooh. Rufo starts, like, trying to reach up because he's being suspended by his foot. And as he reaches up, everything kind of swings a little bit. And he swings a little bit and feels a little bit more precarious as he swings.
Oh, a little bit less swingy, if you could.
He looks sad. He feels like he can't do this safely.
Right, we'll help. We'll help. We'll get you up. Don't worry.
Could you grab the rope in your beak and then use running and jumping just to run and jump off so that you're going down and he shoots up?
Oh, like a counterweight.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm as heavy as a horned beast, but I can provide some leverage. Yeah, I can do that. I'll grab the other end of the rope on the other side of the pulley in my beak and just flap as hard as I can downwards.
Flap towards the bog.
Yeah. Well, towards the platform.
Sure. Okay.
Towards the winch.
I think we're going to stick with a four for this, but you're using running and jumping, so you can use advantage.
Yay. No.
Sorry, man.
One and two.
My bad.
Why isn't this working? Oh, bloody, there's a bloody sword stuck in it. When did that happen? Who did that? Winkle!
Wiggly, are you going to remove the sword?
I will, yes. That's probably a good idea.
I shall winch. Winching, that is a knight's job.
I would like a roll of three or higher from Sir Barold.
Mm-hmm.
It's a three, not a four, because you can use your dog to help. You're, like, the dog, Privet, is helping to hold the weight of the winch. Because there were previously five goblins on
it. Yes. Okay, so it's more than one.
But you could get advantage because you have endurance.
Aha, I do. Yes. Thank you.
You're stout of heart. You're all equivalent to five goblins at least.
At least. Four.
Yes, you are able to hold it steady and slowly start winching it back. You are able to rescue Rufo, who once turned the right way up, you can start to see eyes from amongst the long grey fur.
Oh, Rufo. Grateful.
Well, it's a fate worse than death. Had to do something, didn't we? Chivalry or something.
Yes, the stink is truly awful. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, apart from those goblins. They deserved it.
There's just another couple of hands, like, bubbling into the bog.
Rufo. Friend?
Looks at Linda.
Linda, friend. Linda. Friend before?
Linda forgotten.
Sad.
Very sad.
A huge, like, hand comes and pats you on the shoulder.
Why help?
You were in trouble, and we are really good at helping people.
Where voice?
Here.
Huh?
Here.
The gallant worm.
Little bit down. Huh? Little bit left.
Oh, small.
But stout of heart and noble of deed.
Noble.
Yeah.
Rufo, thank.
We helped you, and we didn't do it because we wanted anything in exchange. But now that we have helped you, maybe we also need help. We're also people who need help, and you've just heard the knights say that you should help people who need help.
Perfectly said.
Is that what they teach you at night school? Is it more nuanced and perhaps more moral?
We learn how to talk in a more charming way than that.
Oh, yeah.
What need...
We need to get to the Goblin Queen's castle. Soon. We're running out of time.
Oh. This way.
And Rufo will point and start to lead you in a direction, if you would like to follow.
Yes,
please. Yes.
As long as he's not leading us directly into the Bog of Eternal Stare.
No, distinctly staying on the path. You continue your way through the land of yore. The woods get a little denser and thicker. And whilst it is spring, it also feels like weirdly twilight and also dawn and evening at the same time. It's a very strange light to this area.
I wish we weren't in a hurry. It's golden hour every hour.
Occasionally you'll see little twinkles of fireflies. All undercut by every so often just the cawing of ravens, just to remind you whose woods you are in.
I don't like ravens, really any bird.
Why?
I mean, obviously not you. I've been very impressed with your lack of trying to eat me.
I've been nothing but complimentary about your style of dress.
You haven't said anything about my style of dress.
No, I wasn't thinking anything horrible about it.
Oh, okay.
What Winkle is saying is that, Gundle, you're not like the other birds.
Well, that's not how I would have put it. But, I mean, he's not tried to eat me. And that's a bonus.
It is a bonus.
Gundle actually, like, primps and fluffs up a little bit and goes, yes, I am singular.
Rufo just slowly shakes his head. Rufo will eventually lead you to a stone rock face within the woods.
Door. See door?
I don't see any door, old chap. Is there supposed to be one around here?
Door?
Linda lifts her arm and has a look. Thinking maybe trying a new angle will help find the door.
At any point during this journey through the land of yore, do you think that Gundle would have had his painting equipment, most notably the paper, out?
I may have been tempted as we were walking through the woods and it was a little bit like less immediate peril given that I did comment about the beautiful light, so I might have been tempted to, like, pull a scroll out and start just doing a little sketch as we went.
Rufo will turn to you and reach a giant hand towards your piece of paper that you were drawing on.
Hang on, not so fast. let's see where the horned beast is going with this.
I'll
let him take the paper. I don't know if I do understand. Would you like me to draw a door?
Draw a door.
On the paper or on the wall?
Points at the paper.
All
right. Finally, a challenge for Gundle. spread out some paper on the the floor of this clearing courtyard.
Not a courtyard. It's not sort of crafted in any way. Just a clearing.
Spread it out on the earth and... lean my head and my beak all the way down to the floor so my eyes are right near the paper and just starting to sketch with... I'll actually paint. I won't just draw. I will paint a door on this paper.
The piece of paper you have, I'm going to say, is about the size of a piece of A4 paper.
Great. I'm going to do a nice watercolour.
Lovely. Will raise his head up. And the world seems to just rumble just a little bit. Once you have finished, the paper rises up and floats, as instructed by Rufo, towards the stone wall. As it gets close, this piece of A4 paper folds itself out into A3, folds itself out into A2, folds itself out into A1, and again and again and again, until it's a big enough door for a horned beast to walk through onto the stone.
It's a wooden door. I deliberately didn't draw a keyhole so it wouldn't be locked. In fact, I drew, instead of a handle, I painted a plate that says push. And it's a beautiful wooden door that has some carving into it, like some debossed carving of some trees and overhanging willow foliage in it.
Is anyone going to push the door?
Did you draw hinges? It's not budging.
I'll give it a kick. Stick a leg against it and heave.
Now, let's be specific here. Do you kick it or do you heave it?
I brace a foot against it and then I lean my weight forward.
Okay. So you do push it.
I do push.
Rather than kick. Just wanted to check. Language is a tricky thing. As you push the door open, from the sides of the door, you hear a great clatter as just stuff falls out of the door. Now, you've pushed it away from you. So it's like things have fallen, as you've kind of stepped through, things have fallen from just behind and beside you, down. Clank, 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 clank. But there is a path ahead. But you do see ahead of you a vast field of, like, a scrapyard.
Rufo, is this what you're expecting to see on the other side of a door from here?
Closer. Castle.
Good. Are you joining us for this next part, or is this when we leave you?
But looks like we'll still come with you.
Oh, thank you, Rufo.
Onwards into mortal danger.
Gundle's like put off a little bit, hears the clatter, gets a bit cautious, takes a step back, and then it's just...
I'm just going to zoom in past you.
As you head into the field of the scrapyard, the field of discarded rubbish, a clearing in the centre, you find... a convention of junk ladies. Three of them, they're sort of slowly tottering around, bent under the weight of the massive pile of useless items they carry on their backs. And they're pouring through each other's packs as well.
Oh, yes, this, I like that one. Oh, you've got a nice one. No, that's mine. Okay, well, I like that one as well. Oh, well done for finding that.
One of them has... there is a mound on her back, but it's hard to see what's actually in there because it's all held in place with her own hair that extends from her head and over, and a big tangled web of hair holds this mound of junk in place. and you hear from the chatter that her name is Margaret. Another one seems to have a massive plank across her back out widthways, with lots of things balanced along that plank. It's almost like a row of matryoshka dolls, but just various different items all the way along that plank. You hear her name is Shirley. The final one is absolutely covered in newspapers and magazines. It's just like, you know, when you're creating a paper mache thing, it's just big balls of newspaper just stacked upon this lady. And she's got like a little hat made out of like a paper mache swan hat.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear her name is Florence.
So artistic.
Mm. Yeah.
You think so?
I will give Beryl the benefit of having grown up in Yore. You know that junk ladies can be completely innocuous, or if you catch them at the wrong time, they can really slow you down. At the moment, you can't see a way out of this junkyard, but if you get close to where they are, it opens up and you might be able to see a way through.
I would like to hop off whoever I was on and just sidle into the junk and remain unseen.
Mm-hmm.
And just try and approach them and have a look at what's about and where we might be able to go.
We should just bypass. We should just get through here. There's nothing that... Look at all these horrible crones. There's nothing they could possibly have that we could benefit from.
They are tricky. It's hard to make a call on what's best to do here. I'm tempted to just try and keep going and not engage.
I agree. Do we need to go past them?
Can't see the way out unless we get a bit closer to them, but let's try not to get their attention.
Okay, sneak.
Awful bad sneak.
Agreed. Linda, bad sneak.
Yeah, none of us are great at sneak, I fear.
I'm really good at sneaking!
Who said that? Should we send an advance party of...
one worm.
What if we distract... Throw some junk over there and they'll all go chasing it.
Oh, maybe.
Some rusty saucepan or something, whatever. Something they'd like. And they'll go chasing it and we can get past them that way.
It's a plan.
Someone with longer arms or any arms might have the actual
Oh,
chucking.
I throw. Ah, yes.
You get a big scoop of junk mm-hmm. and try and throw it.
Yeah, to move them from where they are so we can use that as a vantage point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, to just throw stuff, I think, is relatively easy, but to actually trick them into a certain mm-hmm. place, let's make this a 3 roll. In this situation, I think the fact that you're very large might help.
I can throw further.
Yeah.
Can I help by going with the exact opposite of my own taste
mm-hmm.
to try and find something among the junk that the junk ladies might actually want to chase if they saw it soaring over them?
4, 5, or 6, you find something you absolutely find abhorrent.
No one.
It's only lovely, tasteful things.
Yeah, surprisingly tasteful junk here.
Why have they thrown all of this away? Who's thrown all of this away?
Don't start collecting.
Gondol starts, like, yes. Graping feet to try and gather, make your own pile.
There's already some sort of little carven thing sneaking its way into the sling bag.
I would like to, once I have let go of the stuff I'm throwing, then guide it with the wind.
Clever.
Double hit. Very good.
Smashing, that's a 5.
Yep.
What piece of junk do you think you've grabbed?
I liked the sound of the saucepan.
Yes.
Mm.
Rusty saucepan.
Noisy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Fantastic. You managed to hurl the rusty saucepan over to the side.
What?
Shirley turns with her very wide plank collection. She thwacks the other two over the head with her shoulder plank. It's startled and start trotting off in the direction of the saucepan. You still will have to roll to sneak past them,
yes.
But you've at least got them out of the way so it's possible.
Yes.
Let's go round and see everyone's sneak rolls. Winkle, because worm, you don't have to roll, but it will eat up time if you just inch your way around.
Fair enough.
And everyone waits for you.
I'm walking.
For the largest,
mm-hmm.
for Linda and for Rufo, this is going to be a 5. For Gundel, this is going to be a 4. There's a barrel that's going to be a threat to sneak. Is there anything you want to use to give yourself advantage?
Speed, as usual.
Yeah.
I think that will... I can, like, lie low on steed and do some sneaking that way.
Fabulous. Let's see that roll. 3 or higher.
Yeah, 3 and a 5.
Privet sort of gets up on its little tippy toes and does like a cartoon, like... without making the noise, obviously.
Yeah. I do imagine that in our heads.
Yeah. Tick, 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 tick. You're perfectly sneaky. You manage to make your way round to the centre, and then you can see that there is a way beyond. Let's go to Gondel.
Would you allow me running and jumping? Because if I keep an eye on the ladies as I'm sneaking, and if I get any inkling that they might be about to turn around and spot me, I can quickly run or jump behind something.
I'm debating whether, like, diving behind something quickly would probably be quite noisy.
In this particular place? Yeah.
In this particular place.
Like, clang, clang, clang.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just become a flaw.
Maybe that's what it looks like if I fail. All right. I'm just rolling a single die.
4 or higher.
4.
Yeah. 4.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the roadrunner.
And you managed
again, without the noise.
Yeah. You managed to spot Sabarald and Privet ahead, and you're able to trot around that way super stealthily. Here we come to Linda.
It's a 4.
That is a 4.
So close.
I will roll for Rufo.
Oh.
Rufo rolls a 3.
Oh.
So as our lovely, fluffy, soft horn beasts start trying to sneak as carefully as they can, I think there's just one moment where a giant foot catches the corner of a pile of rubbish. Yes. And clank, 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 clank. And then all 3 of them turn around. What?
Hello, lovies. Nat here. You may know already, but I also play D&D games on Twitch with Roll Together. We have lots of one-shots and short 4, 6, 8 and 12-parter stories set in the D&D world of Faerun, as well as a couple of homebrew worlds and stories, and we're also branching out into other short one-shot non-D&D games. You can find our archive on YouTube, and we're on podcasts too. If you enjoy my goblin queening for Labyrinth Untold, you might be interested in watching me DM the 4-parter series Nexus and its sequel Nexus Revolutions, where I send up tropes in sci-fi games and movies with magical science gone bad. We've also recently started a new long-running campaign, Eodrun Chronicles Awakening, set in a homebrew fantasy world with steampunk elements. Why don't you come and join us there too, and search for Roll Together RPG across Twitch, YouTube, pod feeds, and social media. And don't forget, always stay classy at the table.
This has been Labyrinth Untold, a studio production from Merely Roleplayers, starring me, Matt Boothman, as Gundel, Ellie Pitkin as Sabarald von Branwick, Helen Stratton as Linda, Strat as Winkle, and Natalie Winter as the Goblin Queen. Nat planned this season, I edited and produced this episode, and the theme music is by Alexander Pankhurst. We were playing Jim Henson's Labyrinth, The Adventure Game by Ben Milton and Jack Caesar, published by Riverhorse at riverhorse.eu. Merely Roleplayers is a Foggy Outline production in association with Blackshaw Theatre Company. Until next time, if drama be the food of life, play on. Foggy Outline. Undivide your world.